This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.05 a.m. on Monday, the 7th of March, 2022. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Wang Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. As we always do, first thing at 7 a.m., we're recapping how global markets closed on Friday last week.
Last Friday, everything was just in the red, sea of red. So U.S. market, Dow was down 0.5%, S&P 500 down 0.8%, Nasdaq down 1.7%. And in Asian markets, similarly, Nikkei down 2.2%, Hang Seng down 2.5%, Shanghai Composite down 1%, STI down 0.8%, and over here as FBM KLCI down 0.9%.
So for some thoughts on what could be moving markets this week, we speak to Lee Kian-sun, CEO of Astral Asset Management. Kian-sun, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, globally, the post-pandemic rotation into cyclical seems to have been sidelined by the geopolitical events in Europe. What about Asia? Is the same thing happening in our neck of the woods?
I think the US equities have a very good run in the past 3 years with double-digit returns every year. Initially, it was led by the tech story during the pandemic. Then it was the recovery play post-pandemic. But many forgot that it was also a result of hot money and low interest rates, leading to the U.S. markets being slightly overvalued. And as this tide recedes with rising interest rates expected, inflations, companies with exaggerated valuations will be hit once their earning results could not meet these market expectations. And now the global investors have also realized that there are more interesting opportunities in Asia simply because these stocks are way undervalued and the business fundamentals remain intact to capture the economic recovery post-pandemic, because we are behind the curve compared to US and Europe. So if you are willing to put aside the geopolitical tensions for longer-term investment horizon, I think Asia would be an attractive hunting ground for good companies.
Yeah, but I'm also seeing this news flash across Bloomberg at the moment and saying Brent crude oil soars above $135 a barrel over fears of tightening markets. My issue here is, does it create a contagion effect on what is happening around the world, so markets will actually come under greater pressure, selling pressure?
Energy prices has affected the whole world, in particular because of the Ukraine-Russia tensions. Russia supplied 40% of energy to Europe. I think Asia has a wider diversified source of, in terms of our energy, because we don't buy so much energy from simply from Russia, but rather from across the world. But with rising energy prices, yes, for the short term, it will definitely affect the cost of doing business. The cost of transport will definitely rise.
And what about in Hong Kong? The Hong Kong's COVID zero policy is placing great stress on the financial sector. What advantages or disadvantages does Singapore have in terms of taking in capital flows out of Hong Kong?
I think the bank deposits have shown a clear sign of this shift, right? Where you see deposit growth in Hong Kong has roughly halved in the last few years. And Singapore deposit growth, meanwhile, has averaged between 7.3%. And about double the pace in the previous years as well. I think the main trend, apart from fund flows, that's interesting to capture is the businesses moving their headquarters. Businesses which are affected from the events in 2019, when there were widespread protests and security issues, as well as the stringent quarantine rules of COVID-19 have been shifting to Singapore. And the next trend is actually humans. Talents in terms of expat communities, a lot of them are moving to Singapore as they are quite frustrated with the travel bans to certain countries, as well as the long quarantines in Hong Kong. So Singapore, meanwhile, is facing a manpower shortage as well, and have the flexibility, I think, to attract these talents who wanted to move to the city.
And sticking on the theme of China, we see that the Shanghai CSS 300 is down nearly 9% year to date. And in addition, China has forecasted a relatively tepid 5.5% GDP growth rate for 2022. What's your view on Chinese equities? Do you see any value buys among this downbeat assessment? Or maybe you don't share the downbeat assessment.
I think if you look at 2021, it was a tale of two halves, a boom in the first half of 2021. And the tide turned sharply in the second half as a result of government regulatory crackdowns, the property development bust, as well as common prosperity measures. So the valuation of most Chinese companies were badly affected as a result. I think many of these companies are good value buys as their business were not the target of government policies and they will continue to thrive. An example would be like a Chinese telco sectors with rapid 5G adoption running into hundreds of millions per annum and are offering investors a good dividend payoff given the amount of cash they have, as well as good growth going forward. So the era of rising tide, you know, for the past few years could no longer be taken for granted as rising inflation, energy costs, financial costs, and high manpower turnover will result in declining profit margins for many businesses. So, you know, value investing, if you apply to this business and prudent fundamental analysis, would hold a key to determine the real winners.
But is it time to relook some of the laggards or losers that we saw in 2021? So the likes of whether it's technology or even property, education, gaming, would you relook at these sectors now?
My advice, if this is a result of regulatory crackdowns or massive government policies, it would be more prudent to hold on to see what if there are any change in directions, because this has nothing to do with fundamentals.
There is also talk that the prohibitive cost of 5G rollouts and uncertainty over data monetization will result in a wave of M&A activity across telcos in Asia Pacific. But what is your outlook on this? And do you foresee large-scale consolidation in this sector?
I still recall vividly the good old days of 3G to 4G spectral options launched by the global governments to telcos and making tons of attractive revenue during this process. I think those are the good days of mobile telecommunications. 5G launch and rollout, apart from China and a few other countries, have been very gradual and measured, simply because most telcos are wondering how they're going to recoup their investments on 5G infrastructure when revenue model remains unclear. Let's not forget this. The ARPU of telcos, the average revenue per user, are already declining. Nobody is keen to pay for talk time. We don't pay for roaming. We don't pay for SMS. Data packages are become commodities and highly competitive. So unless there are compelling 5G packages to entice consumers to pay more, it'll be very challenging for telcos going forward. And in terms of consolidation, I always think that international consolidations are very difficult and sensitive for security reasons. But within a country, it will make more sense for telco to co-invest cooperate in this 5G infrastructure versus the good old days where all the telco towers are overlapping to fight for the best spots. So if the revenue model could no longer justify such hefty investments, I think the business would be more innovative and less wasteful.
And one last question from us, and that's about where we should park our money during this period of volatility. Because if you look at how indices have performed in the region, actually ASEAN is the standout, especially Singapore up 3.3%, but it followed closely by Malaysia, not too far. Thailand's done really well, even Indonesia's done okay. Is this where you see inflow coming into?
I think in times of political uncertainty, wars, and market volatility, the number one advice is, you know, stay invested and do not try to time the market. Your time being invested in the market will be much better. In terms of allocations, definitely, as I mentioned earlier, the days of, you know, having double-digit returns in the Western markets is getting very difficult because the valuations are too high. Rather, I think investors would be more, you know, likely to be rewarded if they move the funds into markets that are going to capture the post-pandemic recovery, like what you mentioned, Southeast Asia. And this would offer a chance, you know, in Asia, in Southeast Asian markets, as these markets are on the stages of recovery.
Kian Soon, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Lee Kian Soon, CEO of Astral Asset Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that we're seeing that could impact markets. Talking to us there earlier a little about the outlook for China. And we do have a headline on China's GDP target. I think that's something that Bloomberg and the major business news portals are covering. They've set that target of 5.5% GDP growth for 2022 while maintaining other economic targets like employment and inflation. The deficit to GDP ratio has been set to about 2%. 2.8% this year. That's lower than last year's 3.2%. And they also expect a fiscal revenue that will allow a spending increase of more than 2 trillion won. So that's around 316.5 billion US dollars in 2022 over 2021. I think they're expecting to be able to manage any fallout from the Ukraine invasion at this moment.
Yeah, this is on the back of actually the National People's Congress meeting, which was held over the weekend and continues over the next few days. It's one of the probably the second most important meeting after their normal October meeting, but they're setting longer term targets for the Chinese economy and the direction of it. So lots of interesting stuff. I think they recognize for sure that the economy is slowing down, but as we do know, they are very into this self-sufficiency model and growing their middle class consumer base to push China along the head. This time, less news, I noticed, on the Belt Road initiatives. Very much silent on that.
Well, looking at how the Ukrainian invasion is going on, Ukraine is part of that Belt and Road cog in a way, and that has been, disrupted for goodness knows how long now. Something to keep watching, absolutely. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.